We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now it's time for Lawrence Holmes' show.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
This hour being brought to you by Lake Forest Graduate School. Visit lakeforestmba.edu for their upcoming open house. So what I got to do, like three more of those, Tony? 11:30, 12, and 12:30? All right, no problem. Welcome in. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 12:45. Tony and I are the only ones here at the radio station today. Like, it's literally just us here.
Looks like in a building.
Yeah, like, I think there's a security guard downstairs, and then that's it. But we're hanging out with you, and we are glad to do so. Welcome in. It's a special edition of my show. My show ordinarily runs 6 o'clock at night, but when I looked at the schedule for 4th of July, I said, you know, I could come in and do a show. Honestly, I need the reps. Because the Cubs have been playing out east, that takes away a few shows from me. And I didn't want to step into a three-hour show tomorrow, which will be on at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, and not be ready. So I'm going to do some stuff today, just kind of work on some things and talk with you about some stuff that's been on my mind. I do want to discuss, I don't know if you were watching it or you watched the aftermath on Saturday of the Pacquiao Horn fight, but we need to talk about that. My man Ray Flores will join me at 11:40 to discuss that. The phone number is 312-644-6767. You can text the show at 67011. Yes, it's a live show. It's a live show. There's a lot I want to get done today. I've been pretty lucky. It doesn't usually happen this way, but just because of a couple of scheduling quirks where Jason took a day off last week, so I sat in for him. It gave me the opportunity to talk with Theo Epstein, interviewed the boys, played a little while ago. I'm not going to play all of it, but there's a couple of chunks of it that I wanted to talk with you about and discuss a little bit more in depth. But having the chance to talk with both guys who kind of run the baseball teams here is good. I talked with Theo on Monday. And then Thursday, I talked with Rick Hahn. Rick and I had a great interview. It was unbelievable. It's up on lawrenceholmes.com, which is brought to you by the folks at Canals Auto Group. It's 23 minutes long, and there's a lot of stuff to unpack. It's a fun interview, too. But there's a couple of pieces of that I want to kind of take and talk about as well. Here's where I'd like to start, though. I was driving in today. Drop my wife off at the beach, and I came in here. And I noticed that, of course, there's a lot of traffic going to Wrigley Field. We're probably about 4 miles away from Wrigley Field here at our studios. And I wanted to kind of get a temperature gauge on where you're at right now with the Cubs. Now, like, you know how a few weeks ago, oh, it's still early. Like, we kept talking about that, and now you're into the second half of the season. Even though we're not at the All-Star break, this will be game 83. That's funny. Game 83 for the Cubs today when they take on Tampa over at Wrigley Field. We can look at statistically and figure out some of the issues that the Cubs have. And I think that all of us have become a lot more cognizant of where statistics lie. But even you don't need any advanced metrics to tell you that the Cubs aren't hitting. They're ranked, 29th in batting average as a team as it stands. So you don't necessarily need any fancy schmancy computer-generated statistics to tell you that they can't hit and that their starting pitching has been bad. I think, is it John Jay who's the only regular who's hitting above 270 or something stupid like that? Like they're not getting the production offensively. But I also like to take a look at the 2017 Cubs at the halfway point through a little bit more of a humanistic lens. Early on in the season, when most people kind of blew off the idea of the Cubs being mediocre this year as it's being early, I thought it was interesting when I would get calls and fans would say, and I've said this too, that something's just not quite right. Like something's off. I don't know what it is. And I think that it's really best illustrated by what ended up happening with Miguel Montero, where you have a guy in Montero that is, let's be real, Miguel Montero was a postseason hero. He had a legendary postseason moment last year with that grand slam against the Dodgers. He's a little mouthy. And I think all of us knew that. Cubs fans knew he was mouthy, and White Sox fans knew he was mouthy. Cubs fans knew he was mouthy because he ended up on your team, and you heard him even after winning the World Series last year complain about playing time and all this other stuff. White Sox fans knew because him and Adam Eaton had words when they were both in Arizona a few years ago, and he didn't have very nice things to say about Adam Eaton, and it was a bit of a warning, and that warning ended up being right. The truth is we found out that both guys are kind of jerks, and both of them now are out of town. But something seems to be off with the Cubs. Now, I was willing to give them a couple of months even to if you want to call it a World Series hangover or whatever, they played a lot of baseball. So I understand that. I understand that it's a struggle for a team that played into what, November 3rd, to then get themselves ready for the next season. That's cool. But now we kind of know what they are. Like now you feel comfortable with the sample size that is given to you, 82 games and a team that is 41-41. There's still a lot of time left for them to surge. And what's great is they are still in striking distance of the Brewers. By the way, at some point, and I've been saying this for the last 4 weeks, Tony's my witness. At some point, we need to explore the possibility that the Brewers are a pretty good team. I'm not saying that they are. I fully believe the Cubs will catch them and win the division. Oh, don't look behind you, though, because the Cardinals are right there. But at some point, we just need to explore the possibility that the Brewers are a decent team.
Me and Herbie talk about that a lot. And last time he was here,
yeah,
I was like, dude, I think it's about time we start saying that they're kind of decent. Because he's always said throughout the whole year, throughout the struggles of the Cubs this year, that, oh, well, they'll be fine. They'll catch up with those bum crew guys. They'll catch up with them. And they haven't caught up with them yet. And the season's half over.
Yeah, but they've got time and they've still got series left with them to catch them. You don't want to give them too much distance. But there's still time to get at them. My thing, when I hear people talk about the Brewers, is like, oh, they're probably a year too early. Yeah. You know who we said that about 2 years ago? The Cubs. I'm curious what they do around the trade deadline. That'll give us a clue of what the Brewers think the Brewers are, is if they add. Not if they just stand pat and say, well, we'll see where this whole thing goes. But if they actually say, hey, we got an opportunity to win a division, we're going to do some stuff. And it's funny because that's a question that I posed to Theo, which we'll get to in the next segment, his response to it, because it's been kind of a philosophical difference between myself and Bernstein about what the Cubs can and should do, considering what they are. When you're looking at this team, and this is what I want to talk to you about, is it fair enough to say they are what their record is? Because that's kind of the rote, like, sports radio thing to do of they are what their record is. Their record says they're a 500 team. I'm having a hard time, even someone who's around it every day. I don't know if this is the same as what the people who run the Cubs and are on the Cubs think about. I'm having a hard time figuring out what's missing. And I know it's a nebulous thing, and you have now been kind of trained like Pavlov's dog to start talking more of the statistical, but something's not right. And I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure they're sure what it is. From a construction standpoint, and I did a national show today talking about the Cubs, I think that I'm not a big lineup construction guy. Like, I'm not one of these people that feels like, well, this guy is this. I find myself siding with Joe Maddon about the idea of you don't necessarily have to have the teeny tiny speedy guy at the top of your lineup. I do think that lineup consistency is important. But again, Joe Maddon has proven that theory wrong. Last year, the Cubs had a bunch of different lineups that they were putting together. When you're not hitting consistently, it's one of the things that I wonder, does it make a difference or does it not make a difference? And I don't know if there's even a way to tell. But they gave 36 games to Kyle Schwarber to allow him to lead off. No one to this point still has led off as many games as Kyle Schwarber has led off for the Cubs. Does that mean that John Jay should play every day? Or my thing is, I think that John Jay should lead off every day against a right-hander. And he is leading off today against Chris Archer. That's where you start to look at them and say, what's happened? I also wonder about the idea of subtraction by subtraction. You look at the guys that left the team. Was their impact more than statistical? You look at Dexter Fowler leaving, and I know Dexter Fowler hasn't had a great year in St. Louis. I dare bring this up, but you look at David Ross leaving, and there has clearly been an impact to that. I don't know how to measure it. I don't know how to measure that impact, but it seems like it's a theory of mine that the subtraction of certain members of the team and the addition of other members to the team has made the whole less than what it was. Now, the only proof to that I have is the Cubs record of 41-41. There's so much here. This is why I wanted to kind of work through this. It's kind of like a therapy session for me because I've been thinking about all this stuff and haven't had enough shows to do to really kind of sift through it. Am I making sense? Is basically what I'm asking you. Is there anything to the idea, like, has it run through your mind that there might be things outside of the numbers that are leading the Cubs to having some of their issues? Now, let me just say, statistically, teams that win the World Series, 63% of the time don't make the playoffs next year. Repeating in baseball is very difficult to do. And we haven't seen it in almost 20 years. So in that way, statistically, the Cubs are being what every championship team is. Usually the team that loses the World Series actually fares better the next year. But even Cleveland this year has been kind of, they're leading their division, but it's only by 2.5 games. And those damn Royals, man, I hate them. They just don't go away. So here's what I'd like to do. While I've got you, we've got some time to kind of kick back and talk. What do you think is going on with the Cubs? Is this what you expected? Now, look, there's going to be a person that texts here at 670-11 or calls up, I totally expected them to do this. But most of us didn't. Most of us didn't. And I think that they didn't think that they would regress this much. And that's why I think you're seeing reactions like, you know what? We got to get Miguel Montero up out of here. That's a That's a human factor. People like to look at Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer and Jason McCloud and be like, these guys are slaves to statistics. They aren't. If you read the Cubs Way by Tom Verducci, the book that he wrote, and I just finished it. It's a great book, by the way. I think you really enjoy it. If you're going to read one book about the Cubs and them winning the World Series, that should be the one you should read. I'm just kidding, Cap. But it is a good book, and you should check it out. But what you find out in there is that they aren't robots, that there is a human element that goes into some of the decision-making that they've made. Now, they do their due diligence with the numbers, but they do care about personality traits and character. Put that in quotation marks. Character. And having character guys as the pillars of their franchise. Something's amiss, and I don't think they're sure of what it is, but I think they're trying to combat it. And that's why I think even though Miguel Montero was having a pretty good year offensively for the Cubs, the Cubs were like, you know what? We don't need your offensive statistics that badly. You gots to go. 312-644-6767 is the number. I know that holidays, like, it's an opportunity for people who maybe don't ordinarily listen to listen, which is kind of exciting for me. And if we haven't had the opportunity to chat, now is a good opportunity for us to chat. Welcome in. It's appreciated. You're driving around, heading out to a barbecue or to the beach or wherever you're going to celebrate the 4th of July. I'm Lawrence Holmes. I do the show here usually from 6 until 10. I figured I'd come and hang out with you for 90 minutes here. So we've got some time between now and Cubs pregame to chat. I'd love to know what you think. What's going on with this bunch? 312-644-6767 is the number. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and you're listening to The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Lawrence Holmes here with you until Cubs baseball, which we will have at 12:45. This segment on The Score is being brought to you by Mattress Firm. It's Mattress Firm's 4th of July sale, and they're celebrating with daily deals like free pillow, 50% off mattresses, and more. Visit a store today to find out more, only at Mattress Firm. If you're not used to this, because ordinarily this is the time slot that Spiegel and Parkins are in, my name is Lawrence Holmes. I do the nighttime show here at The Score. I thought I would come in and talk a little Cubs and some other stuff with you today. If you want to follow me on Twitter, at Lawrence W. Holmes is where you can find me. I'm also on Instagram. Same place, at Lawrence W. Holmes. I'm still trying to figure out why there aren't more of us Score people. I don't mean people who work here. I mean Score listeners who aren't on Instagram. Some good pics. I actually just posted last night, Sunday night, a great picture of there are a bunch of us that were at the One Step Camp poker tournament. And it's a great picture of us like sitting around like listening to Terry. So cool. So if you're on my Instagram, at Lawrence W. Holmes, you can check it out. By the way, nice move to play Terry's last show yesterday. That was fun to relive and listen to. Shout out to TB, my man! Let's get back to your phone calls about the Cubs. And what do you think's going on? 312-644-6767 is the number. Downers Grove and Ron. Hey, Ron, you're on The Score.
Hey, Lawrence. It's good to hear from you.
Same here. What's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to you today, and I was thinking that the problems that, you know, the things you're struggling with, I think there's a lot of people feeling the same way, but I think most of it is mental.
Okay, and, what do you mean?
What I mean is, we have a young team, very skilled players. They didn't just turn into 40-year-olds like overnight. So I think a lot of it, their skills didn't diminish. I don't think it's physical. I think it's mental. And, you know, what you were talking about with David Ross, I think he was a big factor on the field and off the field.
Yeah, you know what? I think that his value may be more, you know, we joke about it because it seems ridiculous. And I want to go back to, you know, this book, The Cubs Way. when you read it, you understand that that impact was a big deal. Is a big deal. I'll explain more on the other side. First, I have to go run into the Chicago Wolves update studio. Hold on. That's the sound of me running. That was just terrible. All right. From yes, that yes, Tony, that's it. We're talking a little bit of Cubs. Coming up in 10 minutes, we're going to talk about what happened between Manny Pacquiao and was it Jeff Horn? Was that the guy's name?
Jeff Horn, the Hornet.
The champ. We got to talk, man. Because I think the ratings say that not a ton of people watch it, but a lot of people watch it. I thought it was cool to have like a championship fight with a well-known fighter on television. Me and my wife were watching that fight, and the decision, when they gave all three of the judges cards, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, Pacquiao's going to win. And new, I was like, come on, man. So we need to talk about that. We'll do that with Ray Flores in a few minutes. Let's go out to Dubuque and talk with Willie. Hey, Willie, you're on the score.
Lawrence, thanks for stopping by, man.
No problem. What's on your mind, Willie?
Well, I tell you what. You know, you guys, everybody's hitting it right on the head, and it's just about where it should be. Okay, so we got a taste of this last year when Fowler went down at the All-Star break, and all of a sudden the Cubs couldn't win any games, okay? So he's out for 2 weeks or whatever it was. They lose, I don't know how many it was like 15 out of 20 or whatever it was, but all of a sudden, like, wow, what's wrong with the Cubs? Okay, then you take Ross out of the picture, regardless of what happened to Miggy, which is another topic, but he was well-liked by most of his pitchers, and they said he was a clubhouse leader. You take the fact that the Brewers are hungry, you take the fact that, you got a couple injuries here and there, and it's just absolutely perfect. The Cubs are out 2.5 games. The Brewers are not going away. I said earlier in the year that the Brewers reminded me of the Cubs of last year on how hungry they were and the fact that they were hitting everything. And so it's just about, I mean, it's just about what we would think. It's, you know, they're 2.5 out. I still think they're going to win the division.
Me too.
It's just a completely, you know, it's this team isn't the same team as last year. I don't know how Theo and Jed can measure, you know, how do you measure what Ross and, you know, and what Fowler, you know, when they left, how do you measure that?
I don't know if you can. See, that's, Willie, that's really the thing. That I am someone who loves numbers. I like to look at statistics and see if there are correlations or causalities because of it. But the thing that I think is so difficult still is because you're not playing with robots who are just going to do their numbers. You're playing with human beings, and it's weird to it's hard to figure out what is going to affect a person. It's hard. You try to mitigate everything that you feel can affect a person, but they're human beings, and we have to look at it that way. And you're right. And I remember we were probably 3 or 4 weeks into the season. I said, there's at some point, you have to let go of the 2016 Cubs and say, this is the 2017 Cubs. That afterglow of winning a World Series, it feels great. It feels warm. But you have to look at a team and say, this is what they are right now. And this is who they, what they're looking like. A text came in. What are your thoughts on John Morosi reporting the Cubs are looking at Justin Verlander and Alex Avila? I actually think it makes a lot of sense. But we'll get into that in more depth a little bit later on in the show, because it's one of the things that I talked with Theo about last week when he was on the Bernstein and Goff show, is the proximity to winning a division. That's something that you need to pay attention to. That even though they're a 500 team, that's what their record says they are, that they're still close enough to get themselves out of a coin flip game. And then you could see weird, small sample size performances like Kyle Schwarber's in a playoff series and end up winning another world title. This segment being brought to you by Taco Bell. When you've had a morning, let Taco Bell make it a little better with a new breakfast quesadilla. I can't do this as well as Zach does it. I'll try, though. Fluffy eggs, crispy bacon, and melty cheese pressed inside a warm grilled tortilla. I haven't tried Taco Bell's breakfast yet, but I really, really want to. That, you know what? That's a mistake I made this weekend. I had all this time off. I could have done it. Soon, Taco Bell. Soon. We're going to take a break. We're going to go away from baseball for just a little bit. But you probably heard about the crazy Pacquiao Horn fight and the decision that was made. I want to get an insider's view of this. My man Ray Flores is going to join me to talk about this ridiculous. Did you watch this thing? I got to text me and let me know, 67011, if you watch this thing. Because I would love to know what your reaction was when they read what the judges said. We'll talk with Ray about it next here on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All three scores go to the winner by unanimous decision. And new! Oh, boy! The Honorable Champion of the World! The Fighting Pride of Brisbane, Queensland, Australia! Jeff the Hornet!
It's funny, boxing doesn't come to the forefront that much when we do sports talk, unless something crazy goes on, and something crazy went on Saturday night. Before I bring in my man Ray Flores to talk about this, I just want to set the scene for you, okay? My wife and I have been out to a wedding, and we came back, and it was like a crazy wedding. It was ridiculous. We came back, and I was like, oh yeah, the Pacquiao fight is going to be on cable. I'm able to watch it. It's on ESPN. Said, okay, I'm going to check this out. I'm going to watch Manny Pacquiao dance around and beat this dude up for 12 rounds and get ready for him to say that he should fight Floyd after the whole Conor McGregor thing is over. So I'm watching a fight, and halfway through the fight, I'm like, okay, Manny's doing his thing. And I thought the second half of the fight, Jeff Horn fought well. Like, he didn't give up. There was that after the ninth round, I think they told him, look, we'll stop this thing if you don't start defending yourself. And he did. He fought valiantly. I thought that he had earned himself a split decision loss. You know, that we would see two judges say Manny won it and it was a draw with the other judge. And Manny would walk away and we start thinking about what the next thing was. I was shocked. I looked over at my wife and she was like, what just happened? I was like, I don't know what just happened. And then the reaction from Teddy Atlas was unbelievable. And that went worldwide. So I figured since I was going to be on today, I'm Lawrence, by the way. My name is Lawrence Holmes. If you're like, hey, that voice sounds familiar, but I ordinarily don't listen to him this time of the day. That's because I'm on at night. You can hear my show 7 o'clock starting tomorrow night, usually 6 to 10. But I just sat there like, what is going on? So I needed to get some perspective. So I wanted to reach out to someone inside the boxing world who has that type of perspective. Ray Flores is great. You should be following him on Twitter, SBR Flores. He's a ring announcer. He's been a play-by-play man. He's seen some weird stuff in his decades worth of professional boxing as a professional. Now, he doesn't box, but he works in it. I've got to find out what he's thinking. He joins me now on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has air conditioning performance checks starting at $19.99. What's up, Ray?
Lawrence, happy 4th of July to you, man. What a crazy weekend in boxing.
Yeah, it was absolutely nuts. Okay, I know that you were paying close attention to what was going on because you're a big-time fight guy. Walk me through you watching the end of that fight and your reaction when you saw the decision that Jeff Horn had won the fight.
Well, Loris, I was watching the fight with, you know, my parents were in the town, and I'm watching the fight, and I'm like, look, I go, it's like 10th, 11th round. I go, Manny should win this fight, but it's getting closer. I go, and I tweeted out right before, I go, well, Manny should win the fight, But we have seen strange things happen in boxing before. And lo and behold, the unanimous decision for Jeff Horn. I thought Manny won the first half of the fight. You did a great analysis. I thought Manny was clearly ahead the first half of the fight. Jeff Horn started making a better account of himself. He was aggressive. But here's the problem, Lawrence. When you're the A side, there's a reason why Floyd Mayweather has never, or over the past decade, has never fought away from Las Vegas. He's the A side. He doesn't need to fight away from what his home base is. Manny did not need to go and fight in Australia. He fought in an opponent's backyard. He's the A side. And sometimes things like that happen. And you're probably asking, well, how is that the case? Judges don't have the benefit of the doubt of looking at monitors like how we do or the television cameras. So they're in different parts of the ring. I think they got it wrong, without a doubt. But when you have 55,000 people in Australia going crazy for their hometown guy, and if the action's on another side of the ring, and he's being active and aggressive, which he was, and they start going crazy, in some way it could affect the judge's perspective of the round. And I think that's what happened on Saturday night.
Why did Manny allow for this fight to be in Brisbane?
Well, he had a $10 million guarantee, and it was Bob Arum's promoter saying, you know what, this would be great. They probably offered them a cut of the pay-per-view because they know that they did well with the pay-per-view sales out in Australia. It was a dumb move. It was a money grab for the promotional entity of Top Rank to go and make this something. I was in Las Vegas last year in April when Manny Pacquiao fought Tim Bradley, and the buzz wasn't there to what typically are Manny Pacquiao's fights. So they decided to take him on the road, and it bit them. Instead of Manny fighting Terrence Crawford, which what they should have done because it's an easy fight to make in-house with Top Rank, they decided, let's go to Australia. Let's make this the Manny Pacquiao Global Tour. Well, the Manny Pacquiao Global Tour ended up being quickly halted, and now they're going to have to do a rematch. What's more surprising than anything, Lawrence, is how Bob Arum wasn't upset about it. He's like, well, that's how the judges have it, whatever. Lou DiBella from DiBella Entertainment, who's an outstanding promoter, was saying, I watched the fight twice, and you know what? I can't believe there's not an outcry over it. And Bob is just kind of like thinking, okay, we got the rematch, because there will likely be a rematch, and they'll make a ton of money. But this fight had no business being in Australia.
I thought that Manny Pacquiao's reaction to it was a bit subdued too, because I thought that Manny won the fight, but even if he lost in a split decision, you go, all right, I guess a unanimous decision. I couldn't believe he wasn't jumping up and down when he heard that.
Well, that's just Manny's personality, Lawrence. You remember the first fight here, we've seen worse decisions in boxing. And Manny was at the end of that when it came to Timothy Bradley, number one. And it's funny that Bradley was commentating, and you really didn't hear Bradley say, oh, this is an outrage. He was kind of like, well, you know, whatever, because he knows what it's like to be on that side where Jeff Horn was at. But even after Manny Pacquiao lost to Tim Bradley the first time, he wasn't yelling. He wasn't making it a big spectacle. He's kind of like, well, it is what it is. I mean, Manny's just not that kind of guy. But Freddie Roach, I'm surprised, wasn't just going wild and crazy. I mean, I thought it could have been at the worst a split decision that you mentioned for Manny Pacquiao, but this is just, it's one of those things that happens in boxing, and when you leave it in the hands of the scorecards, those things transpire a little bit more frequently than what we would like.
Ray Flores joining me here on The Score. You can follow him on Twitter at SBR Flores. There's so much stuff I want to get to, and we don't have a ton of time, but do you think we'll see, and I know that you've been a part of a bunch of different broadcasts, we'll see more championship fights on over-the-air or cable television?
Here's the thing, Lawrence. You know, ESPN, you know, God bless them and all, but they were saying, you know, boxing's back on free TV. Well, I'm scratching my head right now, Lawrence. PBC has put on world-class boxing since March of 2015.
Yep.
Deontay Wilder has fought on Fox the past two or three times. You know, you got Keith Thurman and Danny Garcia this year. PBC's putting big fights on free TV. So they have this short memory, and I need to go ahead, and those in Bristol, I need to shake them up and say, guys, look, PBC's been around for a long time. You know, I understand it's a marketing ploy, but that's as far as it'll go, in my opinion.
All right, then let's talk about the major marketing ploy that's happening in boxing right now. Floyd Mayweather taking on Conor McGregor. We talked about this when we were in Las Vegas about the possibility of it happening. Now that we know that it's happening August 26th, what should any fan of boxing or MMA make of this?
Get ready to be entertained, because Lawrence, the lead up, with the pre-fight press conference is going to be insane. The way their walkouts are going to be something. And here's the deal, is that, yeah, Conor is unorthodox, but you always have a puncher's chance. And for those that are saying they're not going to watch, well, then don't watch. Because this is going to generate, from my sources in Las Vegas, they go that hotel rooms are going at a pace that is going to eclipse Mayweather Pacquiao. The sports books are getting more money brought in. It's going to equal the Super Bowl, if not surpass the Super Bowl, which is insane. And if Conor McGregor were to somehow shock the world, it would be the biggest upset in sports history. And I know that Floyd has been training very hard and is not taking Conor lightly. He's already in impeccable shape. And it's interesting that the fight with Pacquiao and Horn went to the scorecards. So you got to be wondering if you're Floyd, I can't let this go to the scorecards. Because what if something screwy happens? Anything is possible, as we've seen. Floyd has got to go out and knock Conor out. Conor's going to have to gamble because he's more of a counterpuncher. So Conor's going to have to be the aggressor. All of that, coupled with the celebrities and the theatrics, it is going to be something very special. It will be a spectacle. You will be entertained. The undercard's going to be loaded up. And let's just gear up for August 26th, my friend. You know what? It is going to be the biggest party of the summer in Las Vegas.
Oh, well, then that answers my final question. You're definitely going to be there because you said it's the biggest party. So,
oh, come on, my man. You know I can't miss this. I mean, Mayweather-McGregor fight week, I will certainly be there. You and I have had good times in Las Vegas before, but I will certainly be there.
I got a room booked, man. I'm going. Now, I don't know if I'm going to get credentialed. Hopefully, I will. But I'm going to at least be in Las Vegas for this because my schedule allows it. I talked with Mitch Rosen about it. He's like, we have to cover it. Like, that's the thing about this, Ray, is that it's ridiculous. Like from a pure, like, boxing standpoint, like, we know it's ridiculous. But the spectacle of it is going to force coverage of it. And what you're talking about, all the money that's being generated – when I was looking up hotels, and it was the day before they made it official, I was like, you know what? Maybe I should go and book a hotel now. And then I looked the next morning, and you see the amount of dollars that I saw. And this was 2 weeks ago when I looked. At Caesars, a room was going for like $1,500 that for a night there. So, I mean, it is definitely generating cash for the folks in Las Vegas.
All you got to say, Lawrence, is that, you know, you can gamble on the tables. I cannot. I'm not in your tax bracket, my friend. But the minimums on the tables in Las Vegas during Mayweather-McGregor fight week are going to be insane. So I know you got the cash. You're doing your thing, my man. I mean, I saw you in Vegas and you ever shot you shoot. So,
oh, look, come on.
You can do it. But the rest of us, let's enjoy the atmosphere. But I know this for a fact, Lawrence. There are going to be a lot of events open to the fans. This is going to be a fan-friendly event. You know, obviously, the fight is going to be priced very high. Tickets haven't gone on sale yet, but there will be a lot of events for the fans. The wave is going to be insane. So there will be fan-friendly events. But when it comes to, you know, putting some money on the tables, those are set aside for Lawrence Holmes and top, you know, hosts like yourself.
Ray, when's the next time people can see you doing some boxing work?
I will be in New York next week. PBC on Fox. I'll be ringing out team that. We have Omar Figueroa, Robert Guerrero, Shawnee Monahan, Marcus Brown, Big Fox, 7 o'clock local time here in Chicago, July 15th. I'll be ringing out team there. And very excited about that triple header that we have on Fox. And then July 18th, PBC on FS1. So very busy, very excited, Lawrence, and certainly going to enjoy the summer.
Ray, you're my man. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
I'll see you in Vegas, Lawrence.
You got it. Ray Flores. I love that kid. That kid interned for me a long time ago. And now he's like the up-and-coming ring announcer. It's good that he's doing good work. This segment is being brought to you by Four Winds Casinos. I love that place, too. Me and Speaks did a show from there a couple years ago. It was a lot of fun. It's in nearby Southwest Michigan for gaming, for dining, for entertainment, for adventure. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. We're going to take a break. We'll get back to baseball. I want to talk about both baseball teams coming up after noon. I had a great interview with Rick Hahn, but there was a couple of pieces in particular that I wanted you to hear. And one of them had to do with an attendance figure that I threw at Rick Hahn. And the results might surprise you. It's next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.